May his love be with you, his presence, his forgiveness, and his promise to be with us always. The text today is found in the book of John, reading in the 19th chapter, rather the 20th chapter, verses 21 through 31. However, for this sermonette, I will read but one verse, that is verse 25. And they said, "We have seen the Lord." But he said, "Except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and except I put my finger in the print of the nails, and except I thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." You know why you're here this morning. Because you believe that you have no right to hear unless it be his word. That you have no right to speak unless you speak for him. That you have no right to live unless you live for him. And we have no right to love unless we love him first and we love him most. It was Jerusalem. The time of the year was like it is now. It was spring. The days were warm and the evenings were cool. The city of Jerusalem is quite different during the day, during the night. In the daytime, you have the scent of fish and jasmine. The daytime, there's the noise of the marching of soldiers and the carnival of commerce everywhere. But night, it's different. In spring in Jerusalem at night, you see those clouds, they threaten to become great mountains. And it's cool, they make little fires, and the smoke goes ascending like prayer to God. And it was such a night, the great city slept, that he was alone. And he was depressed. You see, he knew that Christ, his Lord, was dead. He believed that. And yet the other disciples and the women had come to the one they called Didymus and said, "We've seen him. He's alive." He said, "I don't believe that." You could see as he was walking in that city that he had no peace because of this. He had no peace within himself. He had no peace with God. He had no peace with anyone. Because you see, Thomas, he had faith in Christ and hope in Christ and love in Christ. And he saw that faith that he had crucified, and he saw that hope bleed to death upon the cross. And he saw the love that he had in Christ taken to a tomb, his head placed upon a pillow of pebbles. He had a yearning, I know, to see Christ. And he must have had an uncontrollable desire to be with him. And a strong taste of death was everywhere. But you see, he knew where they were. And he knew they were not telling the truth or they had some kind of illusion, but he did not want to be alone in this state of mind, and so he was going to the upper room. And we shall go there on this second week of Easter. And Almighty God bless these wonderful Christians. Help them to listen, believe, live, and when they leave this sanctuary, give them the strength to be what you want us to be, always believing, and someday seeing you face to face. With his command to preach his word, I will use that set of verses, and that will be my theme of Thomas Didymus, "I will not believe." He went to the upper room. Christ had been there and broken the bread and passed the chalice. What a scene! The curtains were closed and there were candles flickering, and the great joy they could hardly contain, but nevertheless they had to be careful. There was a table, undoubtedly a table of food and wine and honeycomb and fish and lamb, and the olives disappearing from the table as the little fingers of children took them. And the women and the disciples, "Thomas, we've seen him. Thomas, we're so glad you came. He's alive." But to Thomas, Christ was not alive. To Thomas, Christ was one thing. He was an obituary. An obituary? Name. Jesus Christ. Born. Bethlehem. 5 BC. Died. Jerusalem. 30 AD. Age. 33 years. 2 months. 4 days, never married. Came from Nazareth to Jerusalem, had a full-time ministry, had 12 close followers, and a multitude of believers, had 3 years of preaching and teaching and healing, and succumbed to the death of crucifixion, survived by a mother and several brothers and sisters, and you can make your remembrances to the Fisherman Society of Capernaum. Only the Thomas and obituary. But they came around him in that upper room, and they surrounded him, and I don't know what they said, but they probably said something like this, and maybe it was Mary Magdalene leading the way. Thomas, can't you believe? Can't you share our joy? Thomas, who told you to mourn instead of rejoice? Who told you to yield to gloom? Thomas, who told you the night of your sorrow would never end? Thomas, who told you that God the Father was dead? Who told you that Christ, that his final remains, his final life would be spent in a tomb? Thomas, does the sun still rise? Does the moon still hover? Do the stars still shine at night and do the winds still circle the globe? You believe in that miracle, believe in the miracle that he's alive. It didn't do any good. But why should it? Who has ever seen the dead arise? Do we really believe in resurrection? He didn't, they did. He looked at those people. I don't believe, his eyes were saying, in the resurrection. Do you believe it? Let me tell you that if there is no resurrection from the dead, then I'm going to be terrified when I go by that cemetery, because that's the multitude of the sleeping. And if that's all I have to look forward to, then we've been cheated, because life is so brief. Sometimes it's stillborn. And sometimes life is a couple of years and into the teens or middle age, even in old age. It's too brief. If there is no resurrection, we've been cheated. If there is no resurrection, then you might just as well close down this seminary, because we've lost everything we're dedicating our lives to: the forgiveness of sins, proclaiming the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. And if there is no resurrection, then I would advise you, there's no use coming next week to the vicarage or the placement service, but if you do, here's about the only message you can proclaim. And it's a good message, but it's not enough. Feed the hungry. Visit the sick. But don't tell them that death is not the end of life, but only the beginning, because if there is no resurrection, then you have to tell people that all that there is for us is to patiently wait for the four horses of the apocalypse, and that sickness and war and pestilence and death. You might accept your vicarage and you might accept your placement. Then you go to the people and you can say, well, I'll help you through the world's ocean of pain and tears, and I'll help you to grasp the few happinesses as long as it's day, because the night comes and it's going to be over. But I wouldn't want that, would you? I wouldn't want that. But that's what he believed. There was no resurrection. Then he looked at them to hush them. He said, except I see with my eyes the prince in his hand, and that's not enough. Except I touch my fingers in those prints, and that's not enough. And except I come and put my hand in the side where the soldier thrust the spear, if that all happens, all right. But if not, I will not believe. I will not believe. I will not. And suddenly his words stopped, and his voice dying like a flame of candlelight. For in the midst of them stood someone who had stood there a moment before. Maybe there was a muffled scream. And he held forth his hands. And they were not like our hands nor their hands, because those hands had deep red wounds. It was the Lord. Now it was not a vision, it was Jesus Christ. It was not a beautiful idea that somebody imagined, it was the Lord. It was not an illusion, it was the Lord. Oh, I know what modern theology says, that's a fable. And I know what modern science says, we just rule out miracles. And I know what the modern world says, I'm skeptical of the whole book, let alone that. But nevertheless, it was Jesus. It was his face, it was his beard, it was his eyes, it was his wounds. It was the Lord. Oh, obviously, as some preachers say, not in our synod, but obviously, as some preachers say, well, obviously, he's alive. That is, he lives through his word. And obviously, he lives through prayers. And obviously, he lives in the history books. And obviously, he lives in the beautiful liturgy. But you see, that is not the point. It is more than that. It is more than that he lives through the lives of his inspired believers. It is that he was seen, that he is arisen, that he's alive. And they saw him. He turned to Didymus. And he said, you reach forward and touch your fingers in my hands just exactly as you wanted. And you reach your hand and you place it in my side. And Thomas, be not faithless, but believe. You'll never forget what he did, will we? He bowed before him and he said, my Lord and my God, Dominus meus, Deus meus. I don't have to touch. I know who you are, and that is my confession. He came to Thomas, but he comes to us. He is with us invisibly. Lo, I am with you always. But he also comes to us through his word. And in that time of great sorrow in our lives and sickness, he can come, if it's his will, through his word and give us healing. And when we have great doubt and depression, through his word, he can come and give us hope, abundant hope. And when even success and plenty are there, he comes in his word and he warns us against arrogance and pride. And most of all, when the cloud of guilt hangs over us because of our sins, he comes to us in his word and he said, I died for you. What you could not do by your human works, by your human tears, by your human life, I have obtained for you by a divine suffering and dying and resurrection, namely the forgiveness of your sins. I went to the cross not as your example, but as your substitute. Oh, he comes in his word to us. The moment we wait for is at the moment of Paul calls our departure, our death, our judgment. Then he will come to us exactly as he came to Thomas. And at that great moment, yes, it is the supreme moment of our life, as we depart, he shall be there, and we shall see him face to face just exactly as Thomas saw him. The scene will be repeated. Do you know what I think we will do at that moment? I think we shall see his hands that will be uplifted when he says, peace be with you. And I think we shall bow before him, and I believe we will confess these words, my Lord and my God, Dominus meus, Deus meus. Again, a very happy Easter to you each and every Sunday, and whenever you hear his word proclaimed. Amen. May his peace, his presence, his power be with all of us who truly believe in him, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.